Get out of your rut and into your groove. Let's chat with Will and Tony on News Talk 107.9.
Now, here's Will Kesley and Tony Peck.
Well, welcome back to the show, I'd like to say. It's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah.
What do you do all week?
What do I do? I'd go to work. I work my finger to the bone.
I wish everyone could see in radio. I says, Tony, he looked at me like, you kidding me?
What do I do? Actually, half the time, I wonder the same thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. It's called Let's Chat with Will and Tony. I'm Will Kesley.
And I'm Tony Peck.
Licensed counselor, neurotherapist. Tony, a life coach and corporate leader. And I don't know, what else are you?
I coach things.
You coach. And so you're a coach.
Yeah, I'm a coach.
I think everybody ought to be a coach. I got to coach last Little League, coached football. You know, my kids were all younger. It was a great way to be connected with them. And
I tell you,
something cool about raising kids.
Yeah, the time I spent on the field with my kids has been awesome. Yeah. And all the other kids. You know, I go to almost any IF sporting event, and I have tons of kids. Coach Beck, hey, how's it going? What's up? I have kids call me from college, wanting advice, all that kind of stuff.
Well, if you'd like to join the show, 607-414-CHAT, 607-414-CHAT, or you can email us at letschatwithwillandtony@gmail.com. Gmail.com.
Yeah.
We better start with a letter today, shall we?
Okay.
We got a bunch of these. We have a theme going on here with letters. Let's just read one of these, and that'll kind of lead us into our theme. What she says is, Dear Will and Tony, love your show. Thanks. Hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's always better than going, yeah, your show really stinks.
I hate your show, but I'm going to give my opinion.
But I'd like to send you a letter. This is kind of on a religious basis. She says, I have a son who went on a mission for his church.
Probably Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints.
What okay. Because he was a kid, so they go 18, 19 years old. And says he went out, great attitude, loves the Lord, loves what he was doing, but he got out after a couple of months and he's come home.
Mm.
He said it was too hard. It wasn't what he thought it was going to be as far as all the energy and effort it took. Now that he's home, he wishes he had stayed. I'm not sure he's ready to go back. What advice would you give me?
That's a tough one.
He's had to go do something hard, which, by the way, is part of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about hard things.
Yeah, I think that...
And doing hard things.
Exactly.
And how to be successful at hard things. So if you got anybody in your family that's struggling with this...
With hard things.
Hard things, or has had a struggle, this may be a show for them. So tell me, what's your first advice for her? Sending it back out, what would you say?
All right. Well, I would say, you know, barring mental illness, right? I mean, there's...
Yeah, right. Which is different than having some... Well, I shouldn't say it's different. Having some anxiety, having some depression, having some homesickness isn't mental illness.
Correct.
It's a mental condition.
So,
but it's not a mental illness.
So barring that, I mean, there's certain circumstances where clearly there you need some professional help, you know, psychology, that type of thing. So, so aside from that, if your kid's a normal, healthy kid.
Let me clarify just real quick. Because I know somebody just said, wait, my son's got depression. That's a mental illness. According to the DSM in psychology, it's a mental illness. Okay. So I'm trying to differentiate behind things that are more manageable, more cognitive, other things than things like schizophrenia or bipolar or borderline personality disorder. These are heavy delusional hallucinations. These are mental illnesses of the brain not working and functioning. These other ones are conditions we can work with. I understand they're all called the same thing, but just know there's a big difference.
Yes.
When you're talking about the patient.
Perfect.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
sorry.
So that disclaimer aside.
Thank you.
We get in a little tough love, right?
Yep, tough love.
I would tell first off, I would, when I've had similar circumstances, you know, come in my life and kids ask me advice of this type of nature, I talk to them about, okay, well, let's do a couple tests, see where you are. So I would talk to this sweet mother out there that's worried about her son. I would do a couple tests with the son. I'd say, all right, let's go without a phone for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnect the phone, disconnect the thing. Let's try that for a month.
Detox off your phone. Let's see how you feel about that.
Yes.
I'm going to bet you something.
Okay.
I bet he goes into the shakes.
Maybe so, right?
I'll bet you does.
Because from my understanding, on a LDS mission or a Church of Jesus Christ mission, you don't have a phone.
Right.
Or you have a phone, but it's shared.
But you're not playing on social media.
Yeah, you don't have video games or any of that kind of stuff.
Watching YouTube videos.
So this is difficult. You know, you come from a typical youth of today who's their phone is their life and their communication, their connection to the rest of the world. And coming off that can be a difficult thing. So I would do that test. Do a, you know, 1 month phone fast. Can he handle it?
Let me add something. And I think one of the first questions I'd bring up to him is, do they want to go back? Like she said, here in the letter, he'd like to go back. I'm not sure he's ready. What do you mean he'd like to go back? He now knows what it's like. Yeah. He now knows, you know, you don't have your friends there. You don't have your girlfriend there. You don't have your cell phone there. You don't have all your coping mechanisms intact.
Correct.
But well, he's got to want to. This got to be something he's got to want to do. It can't be because mommy says so. He's got to have an own testimony of why he's going and what he wants to do to serve God.
Well, I think that's a great point because end of the day, if you really believe, when you get down to any person's core value, if it boils down to somebody's core value, you find a lot of grit down there where somebody knocks up against somebody's core value, and that's where you get a lot of pushback, and they won't move any further because it's their core value, right? Similar to this, you know, going out on this mission, right? If it is a core belief and a core value that they want to go do for them, you find that they stay and they want to go do it, and they're there. Nothing will peel them away. You know, they have a broken knee, you know, busted in face, and they're like, no, don't take me home because I want, you know, they want to stay because it's deep. It's a deep belief. You know, it's something that's driving them.
No, there's some real reasons to come home, and there's some real medical, mental issues on why to come home.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody went out, according to this, looks like he basically what she's saying, he says he couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means exactly. Right. I don't know what that means, but I can take a few shots at it. Okay. I couldn't hack it. That means a lot of things to me. So one of the things I would ask in this kind of a particular situation is, I know within the culture, it's understood that it's looked up upon if you go on a mission, right? Yeah. The young man is like, hey, you went on a mission. That's great. I mean, they cheer people on to go on these missions. And with that, then you have to first, moms and dads, find out if the child, in this case, is committed to going on a mission or if he's going because he knows you expect him to go, which is not wrong. Does he have in his own heart a reason to go? And now the question is, if you have one that's preparing to go, what are they doing to prepare to go? If you're seeing no signs of anything changing in their life before they go, like they're, you know, not going to do as much social media. They're not going to sit and play video games all day. They're going to work to earn money
to go,
to pay for their way to go. If they're not doing these things,
they're not ready.
I don't think they are committed to going. They're going because it's a free lunch. Mom and dad are paying for it. And hey, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going on vacation. That's a broad opinion I'm saying. And I understand that.
Well,
it does have to be evaluated.
I think your opinion's valid, right? I mean, end of the day, so often there, how many times do, you know, in a religious community, somebody's going because that's just what you do in my family. I go to church.
And this could be with any organization that does something special religiously.
Yeah. So are they just showing up because that's what y'all do? Y'all go to church on Sunday and that's what my family's always done. So
or
I'm going to hold up family things. Or do you have a core belief and that's why you're going to, you know, that's why you're going to church. You know, for example, all my kids, you know, I'm in this same culture, right? And all my kids as leading up to their missions, I tell them straight up, I said, you will not go. Please beg you, do not go if you think you're going for me or if you think you're going for your mom or you think you're going because, you know, the pastor said, yeah, you want to go, right? Do not go. It's not worth it. It's 2 years of your life and it's not worth it unless you deeply believe because that deep core belief is what I believe gives you the grit to make it through. It's a tough deal, right?
So Tony and I, we both have children that have gone on LDS missions.
Yes.
I have 5 children that have gone. You've had a couple that have gone.
Yeah, I have two that are gone, one that's out.
So I have a bit of experience with watching this work with each one of them.
Yep.
I will tell you that all of my children, about 2 years before they went, started asking a lot of scriptural questions and a lot of doctrinal questions, right? They started thinking a little harder about what do I believe in? And I know mom and dad believe this. Do I believe this? And where am I at with that belief? That is a good sign that they're digging in to find out, do I have faith in this? Do I? And so they would start digging deeper. And there were times they would come and say, I don't know if I understand this. I don't understand this. And we would ask them to go back and find their own place of personal prayer and to fast and other things they could do to try to find the answer. The point I want to make there, though, is that they were passionate about getting to something bigger and learning something bigger. And that to us was a sign they're getting ready emotionally and mentally to go do.
Yeah, to be able to handle it.
To be able to handle it.
Yeah.
I will tell you one other thing. We got to take a break here in just a minute. But one other thing we did as a family, and I know this isn't the same for everybody, but it was a very special thing that happened to me.
Okay.
I'm a convert to the faith. And so my family didn't grow up in that culture. We didn't, that was not it, my point in my life. I decided to go.
Yeah, you came after you'd kind of your formative right. years.
And for those that listen to us on the podcast and stuff, LDS missionaries, they pay their own way.
Yeah.
Well, my mom and dad, my dad was sick. My mom was working several jobs to pay for all that kind of stuff. We had zero money for me to go on a mission. And it was a good bishop of my ward at college who came to me and said, hey, I'd like to go on a mission. I'm like, yeah, I don't have the money to go on a mission. You know, you have to put that money away.
Yep.
And he said to me that, look, there's people that could help you do that.
Yeah.
That felt wrong for me. I thought, No, you know what? This was my responsibility. I've just kind of shirked it. I didn't put the effort in.
Yeah.
And he said then, young man, go home and find your knees and ask God for help. The greatest counsel I ever got was that simple counsel, because I did. I went home that day with a bit of a broken heart, because I realized in my own heart I had really kind of failed the
Lord.
Yeah,
you kind of.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I went home side of my bed at college and I bawled my eyes out. I was so brokenhearted, and I pleaded with God. I said, here's the deal. If you'll help me earn my way to go on a mission, because I can't ask my parents for this, and I'm not asking for help from something I should have done, I will save every penny this day forward until I have enough money to go on a mission. That changed my world. Literally 3 days following that, I get a phone call from a guy offering me full-time work out of nowhere. Full-time work. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll take it. Right. And so I took it. I worked there 3 days, and a guy where I was working called me up and said, why'd you go work over there? And I'm like, because they offered me this full-time job.
I need you to work over here for more money.
And so what he did. He goes, well, come back here. We'll give you more hours, more money. I'm like, you're kidding me. Right. But I got to see the hand of God in my life work because I put forth the effort to do that. So with that being said, you need to know that I saw that special thing happen in the work I had to put in to go.
Well, that's the point, right?
Right. I didn't get a free ride out there. I had to work for it to go. But that's what made it so special for me.
So when you were out there, and I know a little bit about your circumstance, when it got tough.
Yeah.
Was that a difference when you look back and said, no, I paid my way to be here. I wanted to be here.
Keep in mind, my dad died just 2 months before I left on a mission.
Yeah.
You know how hard that was to learn to grieve when you're in Thailand?
Yeah, it's crazy.
By yourself?
Exactly. So that's the grit that we're talking about, right? It has to be for you.
So we come back. I'm going to talk about some things of grit. We've been using that word. I think doing hard things, I can tell you science is pretty clear on this one. It's not about tough love. It's not. It's about what grit you've got. And we're going to explain what that means.
Yeah, we're going to get in a little more, because I think this is so important for so many aspects of life. I mean, we've been talking about this listener's son who
been on
came
over
a mission and had some stuff.
But this fits everything.
This fits everything.
Yep.
You name the trial that you're going to experience in your life, and what we're going to talk about next.
Grit. And not talking grits. That's a food.
Yeah.
All right, back in two. So let's chat with Will and Tony. Check out our podcast on all your favorite podcast locations. And of course, check out our show each Saturday on Newstalk 107.9 and Sunday replays at 6 a.m. on Newstalk 107.9. Back in two.
Common sense advice for life. Let's chat. Now, here's Will Kesley and Tony Peck.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Will
Here
Kesley,
we are.
My buddy Tony.
And we are talking about grit.
Grit. We got a letter. We got several of these letters, actually. It's been kind of interesting, of kids that are going off to college. In this case, when we took this one of a young man that went on a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And although it looks from all indications, letter, full believer, was doing it all the right way, got out there and found, as she said, he just couldn't hack it. It was too hard.
Yeah.
And she said, but now he's home. He realizes his mistake. He wants to go back out. She's not sure he understands and is ready to do that. What advice would we give her? And part of our advice was that, first of all, it starts with he has to go. She says he wants to go. But now you got to put that to the test.
Yeah,
he knows what it's going to take, but what's he willing to do now?
Yeah, put the grit to the test prior to sending him back out.
So
the last thing you want to do is send him back out and have him come back home
again. Come back home again.
Right?
That double failure is wicked killer.
Yes.
But some of the things we would suggest are things like start changing things that you do in your normal life for coping. Now, I want to use this as an example. We talk a lot about tech here. I will tell you, the cell phone has become a menace. menace to people's ability to cope and to communicate.
Well, it becomes their binky.
It's their binky. Huh. And so one of the first things I would suggest is, okay, if you want to do that, let's see some commitments to stay off the phone.
Boom. I like
okay?
it.
Okay. But now this doesn't mean we you know, like I said, we don't say phones are evil. What we're saying is you got to learn to control that. But what I want to see is put the phone down and let's see how your emotions are.
Yeah. Let's see how you handle your emotions after. And we're not, a week we're from not now. Being crazy. You know, 1 week. Yeah, put the phone down for a week.
But a week from now, I want to know what jitters she had. I want to know how angry they got. I want to know how much overeating they did. I want to know how much sleep they didn't get.
Yeah.
Because this will tell you.
Sleeping or oversleeping. Right. Did they have to go into full coping mode because they didn't have their phone?
In fact, any kid I'd have that was going on a mission right now, I would say 6 months before they go,
yes,
we start detoxing off the phone where it's not even a part of their life.
Interesting enough, my...
Because I've got to figure out whether they have the coping skills ready to go out there that aren't being binkied by the phone.
So in the first segment, you talked about, you know, that change. You see natural change in somebody who's really committed to go.
Yeah.
My son, who's currently out right now, he did that about... It was about a year before his mission.
Yep.
He started changing. We didn't ask him to. We just... He started changing. He weaned himself off video games. He got more involved in his sporting events. He got more committed to practicing. Mm-hmm. And all these different changes in his life.
I know
he
your
started
son,
doing different things. He was like a different person.
He was also getting committed to doing service for other people. Yep. Right?
Kindness service stuff. To other people. Yeah. All those different things. He started changing. He started doing different stuff. And it was a great sign.
Right.
So I 100% endorse what you're talking about. There's things you can test this.
Right,
and they can
it.
Prove.
That's one. I would take them off video games, even like movie runs. I don't know if they've got a girlfriend, what that timing is like. All of this kind of thing, they have to show they reduce that and they can manage it. People say, why would you? Because you're preparing to go become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not going out to be a tourist.
Yeah, you're not going out there to learn another culture or another language. That's a benefit.
Right.
Sometimes. But... You know, end of the day, you got to decide, are you really committed? And so, you'll see that. It's like you talked about with the earning the money.
Right.
I mean, that's another way to do it. It says, okay, well, if you really want to go, earn your money.
So one of the things I was going to pass on, I learned this great gift is for the break. I talked about my own life.
Yeah.
I watched the hand of God walk into my life and do things I had no idea. Literally 4 days, I went into what's called the MTC, the Missionary Training Center.
Yeah.
I entered into there and ended up going on mission 4 days after I got my last paycheck. Of which I deposited in my bank 100% of all the money I needed to pay for my own mission.
Boom. Which is like 10 grand.
Right. And that only happened because I saw the hand of God in my life. That was the first major testimony to a new convert's heart that I had to made me understand God knew who I was and would support me in doing righteous things. So when my family came along, we certainly had the means to pay for every one of our kids' missions.
Yeah.
We paid for none of them.
And my kids had that same experience.
My kids knew that growing up. If you want to go on a mission, we'd love for you to go on one, but you have to earn them. And they're like, well, we go at 18. We're at school. How do we have a, you know what? Every one of my kids have earned 100% of their missions.
Awesome. Now,
and that's not to say my kids are great. It's just that was the, that's what was expected of them.
Well, and not to say that's the only way to test commitment and to test what we're talking about either. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. But the thing I think there's a principle we've talked about time in, time out. Is too often these days, parents want to take away from their kids the exact experiences that gave them the grit to get through life.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy because, you know.
Or they want to hide them from any hardship.
Yeah. They wonder why their kids can't handle hard things and tough stuff when they've sheltered them and protected them from everything. It's like we are always laughing about the blue ribbon for everybody
who plays,
right? There's a point to sports and losing and realizing, wow, that didn't feel good. I want to work harder to overcome that. I was down at state wrestling finals this last week. My kid made it to state. It was a cool thing. He got picked to go to state and great. Well, comes down, you know, he's wrestling this match and he's up 7-0 and he gets stuck and gets pinned and boom, it was his last chance. He's out of the state tournament.
Yep.
That is a tough thing to go through. I mean, I watched, and as a parent,
it hurts.
You watch him, it was tough, right? You know, it was hard, you know, and there's a missed expectation and all the things tough. But I watched my kid have some hard emotions, take a deep breath, and then go live the next day and figure it out.
What happens with that? We all have regrets in our life at some form. I have some over football. in high school.
Okay.
Now, if somebody just give me the free ride and, hey, you're the greatest, I never, you know, having some tough things happen. I made one mistake one time in front of the coach and it got me pulled. And I've hated that. That one thing could have changed everything for me. And yet what it did for me later in life, even though it kind of grows me inside my soul, is it gave me this idea that when I had a chance of having some reasons to quit.
Yeah.
I went back to all the times I'd given my half and had quit and how I hated it. I hated the outcome of it. And at some point it gave me grit.
You hate the feeling of like,
I don't want to ever go back. So somebody could have protected me from that, but then I never had the strength in some real things that mattered later in life. Now let's talk about grit.
Let's talk.
So
tell me the science behind
it. Yeah, the science behind what I use the word grit. It's getting pretty clear that there's lots. We look at people and say, well, you know, if you have a high IQ, well, nope, IQ means nothing in your success in life, by the way. There's very, very little evidence that says IQ in academia does a thing for your success.
I know
level.
A lot of very successful low IQ people.
Exactly. Right? They're on YouTube videos all the time. You can see making bank on being stupid. So we want to kind of discharge some of this kind of stuff. We used to say that social cues, having good social cues made you successful. That's true. Having
can't hurt, right?
It can't hurt, right? Being good looking. Certainly people that are good looking get doors open for them easily.
It doesn't
measure their ability to succeed, though, which is interesting. The door opens, but then they fail going through it.
I like that. I like that analogy. The door opens, fail going through it. And it's interesting. I think I can guess where you're going. Mm-hmm. The people that have that resiliency and that determination and that I will not quit until I get to where I want to go are the ones that are successful.
That have grit. And grit. That means to get grit, you've got to, first of all, have some hurt that you never want to have again that gives you tough. You have to have some tough things that happen to you. There's a sales organization I was doing some consulting for. The top salespeople, when we evaluated them, all the top salespeople all had something in their life that gave them grit. Like we had a gentleman who'd lost his wife and his kids in a car accident.
Ah.
Right? All of them had this major event in their life that they plowed through. And that's the one thing we could measure that showed they're more successful. By the way, we've put the same study against social economics, poor kids versus rich kids did not change their ability to succeed. One may have opened up some more doors easily for them, but their success level did not change.
Exactly. And you see that all the time. You see some kids, like take Rafa Nadal, right? Mm-hmm. Famous tennis player, amazing champions, won the, you know, who knows how many majors, right? I didn't know this before, but he comes from, his dad's like a gazillionaire, you know, it's like super rich individual. And you would, you know, a lot of times it's the old, you know, stereotype of, oh, the rich kid doesn't have any drive. Well, Rafa Nadal has drive. And yeah, his parents were wildly rich, but he has more determination and more guts and grit than probably most sports people I've had experience be around, right?
We see kids come out of all kinds of different kinds of homes.
But then you got the kid who's poor and pulls himself up by the bootstraps and makes it there anyway.
Because he had grit.
Because they have grit. Both of them are the same.
Let me dig a little deeper into what we learned about grit. And there's a great study out of Stanford University that they kind of show this grit concept, which was they measured grit based on a person's ability to cope with the trial that was coming. Meaning this. That, for example, one of them they used was the more the people understood about how their mind worked and how the brain works, the more grit they had. And they thought that was interesting. They could test people and say the one thing they could pull from evidence wasn't their money, wasn't their schooling. It was that they had this understanding of life and an understanding of their brain. And the reason this turns into grit is this. When you have tough things that happen to you, there comes a time, and I know this a lot from psychology, and I do a lot with EEGs. We look at brainwave activity and things of that nature. Something special happens when you can separate between your soul and your organ.
Like the organ of the brain.
The organ of the brain.
Like, okay.
So people go, well, my brain. So you think you do things because it's your soul and I chose that and I wanted this. And not necessarily.
Or like I'm an evil person for making that choice type of thing.
Exactly. Okay. Careful with that. Your organ does a lot more to control who you are and what you do than you think it does. Now, the goal is to get more control over that.
Yeah.
Right. But the idea being, for example, when you sleep at night, can you just decide you want to make your heart stop?
No.
No, you don't have control over it.
No control.
Right. You can wish it all you want. You can will it all you want. When people become addicted, which is different than abuse, let's say of chemicals, they're drug addicted. The difference between abusing a drug and being addicted is the brain takes over and says, now we're in charge.
Yeah, and we want people, that, and we're going to make you do it regardless of what you
the
think.
The brain loses conscious ability to do it. We see it with people with anorexia, right? You just, well, put food in your mouth and just eat. It's not that hard. Just do it. They can't. The mind and the body will not allow you to take in food consumption. Okay. So there's a time when the brain takes over. So there comes a special place when somebody understands that there's certain things I have control over, certain things my mind are doing to me, and I can separate my soul from my organ. Meaning that when I go, let's say this young man goes back on a mission, he has anxiety issues again. He has to then understand, is that my soul having that anxiety or is that just my organ providing?
Yeah, me? Is that the brain just providing me a signal?
Right.
And so I'm going to fight my way through it.
That actually out of Stanford was the number one reason people learned to cope stronger.
Hmm.
That they had this idea and understanding there's a separation between these things. The next one was to understand there's a God and a power of God.
Yeah, that reminds me of AA. People who actually get clean and get sober.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's one of the steps is to
recognize a
higher power in your life. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Because what that does, it allows you to have a place where you understand that some things just are and they're not for you to really have to worry about. And some things will be made right that you don't have to worry about. And that there's a place for forgiveness.
Like a letting go.
Yes, there's a place for forgiveness and letting go. And so within those principles, I'd ask this young man who's come back from his mission, where does he stand on the atonement of Jesus Christ?
Hmm.
What's his understanding of that? Does he understand he cannot fail?
Yeah.
He can experience all day long and learn from experience, which gives you grit. But he's not going to fail. So fearing the failure shouldn't have to exist.
I like that. Now, you reminded me of a time. Well, mate, you got the music going.
Mr. Producer, turn it up. No, man.
All right, we're going to have a hard break.
Yeah, got to go to the news break.
All right, I got something for you coming back.
Yeah, you're going to tease me on?
Story about grit.
Grit?
Yeah, when I learned some grit, it was in the professional world.
Okay, Tony and his grit is coming up.
Some grit story. Here we go.
So we're talking about how to get a little harder into life, how to deal with tough things, some things you ought to get rid of or test yourself by getting rid of in your life to determine if you're ready for something difficult.
Or better. Or greater.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We're talking about succeeding in life. And succeeding in life takes grit.
No matter
who you are, we all live a mortal experience.
All part of the journey.
Takes a little grit.
All right, got to take a quick break and come back. We're going to get into Tony's grit, and we're going to find out about tough love. Tough love. What does that do, and is it even any good?
Hmm.
It's an interesting debate.
It is interesting.
On the way with News Talk 107.9. It's Let's Chat with Will and Tony. See you in a couple.